Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Tuesday. It's June 26, 2012. And I have another friend in the studio today. Brian, I guess I've known you and Helga, you maybe a little longer because of the Promise Keeper events, through the Urbana Missions Conference volunteering, through some of the local Christian community functions and events. I have Brian Eichelberger in the studio with me. I think it was about 3.5, 4 years ago that I had you and Helga in the studio, and we talked about the ways God has been at work in your life, but there's been a lot more updates since then. You've been involved in the Urbana Theological Seminary. I know you're a deacon over at the Windsor Road Christian Church. A shout out for Randy Boltonhouse, great pastor. Great pastor.
He is.
I know you're working towards being ordained and maybe some internships, so we want to talk a little about the way God's been at work in your life. And you recently returned from a trip from the Dominican Republic, a missions trip, so we want to talk a little about that. I know Helga's going to be going to Peru in a few weeks, for a few weeks. You got something in a white bag here. I got to ask you about that. And I know also you're just kind of seeking how the Lord would lead you in the future. You currently work for the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District.
Yep.
And I think years ago we talked about the story where you were bussing this Israeli couple around, and I don't know if somehow the conversation turned to your trip to Israel with us. Started talking to this Israeli, was kind of intrigued. You had him over, I think maybe a Thanksgiving meal.
Yep.
And then you started talking, and that built into a relationship, and then we got connected with them. And part of his dissertation topic was on tourism and how Great News Radio takes trips to Israel, these humanitarian mission trips. And it's been interesting getting to know him over the years. And that was all because of you going to Israel with us and meeting with him. But before we go any further, I know you pointed out a few passages that are wonderful ones to share with our radio listening family. 1 Peter 5:7, and you also mentioned Philippians 4:7, but you said, you know, actually verse 6 and 8 are really good too.
Yeah. Yep.
So maybe we'll open up our program with those two passages. They're familiar ones for many people. They're great ones to memorize. I think a lot of people have 1 Peter 5:7 memorized, which says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I'll say that again because it's so important to really digest, to get it into your heart and mind and thoughts, because this is a truth that I think God has for all of us to be mindful of and to remember often. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Tell me a little about that before we jump into Philippians 4:7.
Well, it's too easy for us to think we can carry our load all by ourselves. A lot of us tend to hold things in. We think we can carry everything, stuff it inside, just tough it up, you know, suck in the gut and act like things don't bother us, but God wants us to be free of the burdens of anxiety. He doesn't want us to be weighed down with anything. You know, he's there 24 hours a day for us. He invites us to talk about anything that we're concerned about. If we're concerned about it, he's concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the most mundane thing, maybe something, an ache and pain or a car trouble or a relationship problem or whatever. He doesn't want us to be weighed down. And that's always been special to me, because sometimes I just get going and I get rushing around and I let things get out of hand and I get frustrated. And then he reminds me, hey, I'm right here for you. I am right here 24/7. All you have to do is stop, sit down, relax, talk to me about it, and I'll help you.
Mm-hmm. He's the God of details, too. And those littlest details, he doesn't overlook them. If you invite him to participate, to overshadow, to oversee, to be involved in the littlest things or the grandest things, nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too big. So
that's right.
The small things are equally small to him.
Yeah.
And the big things are equally small to him.
You wouldn't think that a God, the God of the universe, would be that concerned about every little detail of your life. But he is. He does. I like Psalm 139. It talks about, you know, he knows when we stand up, when we lay down. Everywhere we go, he's with us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that there are times that sometimes you forget about that. So I'm assuming when you came to Christ years ago, it just hasn't always been that perfect, easy road,
no,
has it?
I don't know anybody that has a perfect, easy road.
And that's good for maybe some of the unchurched people or somebody scanning the dial saying, this is an unusual conversation. I'll hear this on the rock and roll stations, that you can have a relationship with God, that He cares about you, that He'll be involved in your everyday activities from the littlest details to humongous projects. Tell us a little of that faith journey before we jump into Philippians 4:7.
Well, I guess just a little brief testimony. I was raised in a Methodist church, and nothing against any Methodists. There's a lot of good people out there. But I did not hear the gospel at the particular church that I went to. And so I kind of assumed that if I went, that maybe I would be acceptable to God. It was sort of like spiritual osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
We were never assured of any salvation. We never really told how to have a direct relationship with the Lord. But after I got out of high school, I went to Florida for a while, worked construction, and decided at that time there were a lot of people hitchhiking, and I got that bug.
Hmm.
So in 1973, for quite a bit of the year, I had money. I didn't have to beg off anybody, but I did a lot of traveling along the highways and byways of the United States, East Coast, down to the Florida Keys, out to Arizona, back to Florida again, and just, I was searching for truth. I really was. I hadn't seen much sincerity in the people at my church. Again, nothing against them, but no one seemed to really have a true relationship with the Lord. Then I began to hear the true gospel message, but I also heard different philosophies of, like, I got into transcendental meditation for a while and found out that that was Hinduism, and I was just searching for something solid to hang on to. Eventually, I, after listening to some broadcasts and actually studying the Bible for a while myself, I listened to the radio one night.
Hmm.
Strange thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a fellow was talking about how much God loved me and how special I was to Him, and He had a plan for my life. I can't explain it, but all of a sudden it made sense. Hmm. Everything fell into place, and I thought, this is what I've been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember holding up my arms and saying, Lord, if you want my life, you can have it. And He did. He took it. Now, I've tried to take it back sometimes, but he was true to His word. It took me a while, though, to get involved. But one day I was driving with a friend, and I took the Lord's name in vain. And He said, hey, you shouldn't do that. He died for you. And then I remembered my commitment, and He said, why don't you come with me? Our whole family, our lives have been turned around because my brother was on drugs, and he got saved, and we all got saved, the whole family. And so I got involved with the Stratford Park Bible Church. And,
now, how old are you at this time?
18.
Okay, 18, so this is back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm, 1973, October of 1973, it was when I made the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And then December of that year, I was water baptized, and got involved with, worked at a Christian camp that next summer, and got
so you're kind of like, Lord, I'm sold out now. I'm going to follow you. You've healed me.
Mm-hmm.
You've brought about change in my life.
Yeah.
The forgiveness of my sins. I want to follow you the best I can, even though maybe rough on the edges, that sanctification process.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Kind of needing to learn.
Still a lot of rough edges.
Yeah, yeah. All of us have those rough edges, which keeps us humble, which
but
is
God
good.
Is merciful.
Yes. And patient.
Good thing.
Yeah, good thing. So when did Helga enter into the picture?
In 2001, I went through an unwanted divorce. I was heartbroken. Lived several years single, but decided to try to get back into the dating scene, and took a class with, actually Helga was in the class. At that time, I wasn't really connected with her. We knew each other. We were cordial, but about a month later, I think.
Now, was this a class at Parkland?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, this was the Reverend Ralph Deal down in Tuscola.
Oh, sure.
Who's been very helpful to me and offered me opportunities to speak at his church. He had this class. He has several classes throughout the year. But anyway, he had this class on dating in the new millennium. And so how do you get back into it? How do you find someone that's going to be reliable and safe and not abusive to you and so forth? And it was a great class. But then there was an organization that he was sort of helping with called Single Celebrating Life. And Helga happened to be the vice president, and they had monthly dances at the Urbana Civic Center, and she helped set them up. And these were places that were safe, no drinking, no smoking, no It was very safe for everyone to go. We ended up doing a dance together, and she happened to tell me her story that she'd come down from the Chicago area to live with her sister for a while in Fisher. And I thought, bingo, I was living in Fisher. And I asked her who her sister was, and she said, Edie Matesik. And I said, I've known Edie and her husband and the kids for years. And her nephews, I had been in an after-school program helping with all her nephews, and she was flabbergasted. Hmm. From then on, we really connected.
Yeah,
we
started, small world.
Yeah,
God brought that all about.
Started dating and went through some marital counseling, premarital counseling, and also a program called, well, now it was, I think recently it was called Quest, but it was called Life Skills or Life Training.
Like Learning Skills or something,
yeah,
I've heard of.
Yeah. That was a great, great class to go through. But anyway, then I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask her to marry me in 2003, and we got married in August. We've been married almost 9 years, and she hasn't kicked me out yet.
And what would you say, this is your chance, Husbandry 101 now, what was one of the greatest, I'm sure you're going to have three or four, but what is one of the strongest quality characteristics that drew you to her?
One of the things was she has a very compassionate heart. She's a very caring, loving person. She tries to look after people that are lonesome or out of place or, you know, that need a friend. And she's very loving toward her family. She's very generous. She's very thoughtful. She's always sending cards to people or, you know, if someone passes away, you know, sometimes going to the visitation or the funeral, just always thinking about how to help somebody.
Mercy and servant,
yeah,
and a helper.
Definitely.
Yeah, she's a sweetie. I can testify to that from knowing both of you and being on a trip to Israel and serving in the community
together.
And she
spoils me, too.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
You probably have a good meal coming towards you tonight, too.
There you go.
So, well, let me jump to Philippians 4. We're going to read verses 6 through 8, another favorite of many, but I know it's also close and dear to your heart. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Amen.
Why do you love that verse?
Because it reminds me that I have a choice every single day what I'm going to focus my mind on. I can choose the positive things. It's all up to, you know, really it's up to me. With the Lord's help, I can have a positive mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at things sunny side up. I can look at the glass half full. It's nobody's forced to be negative. Nobody. It's all on what we're willing to let our minds dwell on. So we all have a choice. Everybody. You know, even the devil can't make you think a certain way if you don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. And I love this. Do not be anxious about anything. I mean, that doesn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room.
I guess don't sweat the small stuff.
And it's a command.
Yeah.
Do not. Brian, do not be anxious, not about some things, a few things, about anything.
Right.
And then the solution, but in everything, you know, and this is the exhortation, you know, in order to not be anxious about anything, you have to be in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You'll get your heart and your mindset and your attitude right with God and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. You know, why are you so at peace with all the circumstance with the economy? I know you lost your job or such and such. Well, it's because God is guarding my heart and mind in Christ.
He's my security.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's great verse. So that's an assignment for everyone today. We're going to memorize together 1 Peter 5:7. And then parts of Philippians chapter 4, maybe 4, verses 6 through 8.
Yeah.
They're all really good ones, everyone.
Excellent.
Well, tell me about this recent missions trip you were on in the Dominican Republic. That's where my brother has also served a number of years. So was it with the church organization? Was it with a church group or organization that you went over with?
Well, we went with a local church, Windsor Road Christian Church, and we had a team of 16. Only one was not from our a regular member of our church, but she was one of our interpreters, and excellent. She just did an excellent job. I have to put a pat on the back to the people that organized our trip, Ken Hogan, he did a wonderful job. This was his second year in organizing it. And we worked with a mission called Go Mission, or a missionary group called Go Missions. They're out of Louisville, Kentucky, but they have got several operations in both Haiti and the Dominican and probably other places in the world. We went for a seven-day trip. It was action-packed the whole way. We left the 12th of June and returned the 19th. And,
so you're just recently back.
Yeah. We went to we flew to Bloomington, to Chicago, to Miami, then to Santiago, and then we had about a 45-minute drive to our destination. I think it was called Hato del Yaque, which is a suburb of Santiago. Santiago is a very large place, about a million people.
And what were the kind of things that you did or undertook?
A couple of things. We had a building project, construction. We did worked on a building that was it's a duplex, and it's going to house missionaries and staff people. So we did a lot of concrete work, and I got a little out of my comfort zone because I had to get up on the roof and tie a little rebar and do some things that I'm not used to. We had to put little mundane work, put a little pebbles under the rebar so that it wouldn't, when they poured the concrete roof, it wouldn't stick to the forms. Mm-hmm. And we built a backstop for a baseball, what would be a baseball field. That was a lot of tough work because we had to dig a trench, like a semicircular trench for this backstop, and it was very tough soil. And you can ask Jason Weatherholt, one of our youth pastors. He was using that pickaxe and it was tough work, hot work, but it was all for a good cause.
Now, did you get to interact with the people, the children?
Oh,
was
yeah,
there times
sure.
of teaching or evangelism, outreach, or anything like that?
Yeah, one very important thing we did was went into Santiago and to a place called The Hole. It's called that for a couple of reasons. It's the lowest part of the city, but it's also a garbage dump, and people actually live there. It's, you know, it's unbelievable. There's pigs rooting around where kids are playing, and there's a sewage, you know, sewage just goes down in there. One sad thing is one of the kids we saw take a pop bottle and dip it in the trough, the sewer trough, and drink out of that. That was heartbreaking. But we were there for a couple of hours playing with the kids one day. We brought a lot of sports equipment, but got out of there just as it started to rain, and we thought, boy, we're just getting out of here just in time. But then one of our pastors said, yeah, but there's 80 kids stuck down here, and they got to live with us. And it all floods up, you see, goes into the houses. They have to go to a higher place. Thank God there's a church down there, a real good ministry. So anyway, that was a good experience. But sorrow, you know, kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the great aspects of going on these short-term missions trips, because people say, oh, you're raising $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, and you're only gone 9 or 10 days, and really, are you getting enough accomplished? Isn't it worthwhile? Is it a good enough investment? And yet those sites that you see and the poverty and it almost recalibrates you, the blessings that we have that we take for granted.
That's right, and to see the kids smile, and then, you know, they the power goes out quite a bit, and you know, they don't have any air conditioning, no hot showers. Mm-hmm. It's all a lot of bugs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we have it very, very good.
We have it very good.
But it's something that we recommend everyone gets a passport, because you never know when God may call you
Absolutely.
For a short-term, long-term mission opportunity throughout our country or parts of the world. So get your passport. They're good for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to facilitate. And once you have it, you always have it for about 10 years
until
they expire. So you never know when God may call you to a short-term mission experience. And I mentioned to you off-air, Brian, that in March of 2013, about 10 months away, we'll be taking a group to Israel. And I like what you said about this mission group and the organization, because there's nothing worse than getting somewhere to serve, and then you all stand around, and there's no projects to jump in on. And it sounds like they had things, the supplies, the organization all in place. And
yeah, they do.
That's one of the things we're doing in Israel. We're going to be working at a soup kitchen and with at-risk kids and an Ethiopian absorption center and elderly care center, and we're going to do a mural and some cleanup. And, so we're going to have a really good, I think, 6 different humanitarian mission projects. We'll be meeting with a lot of people and then still touring the holy sites, which is, like, I believe, the best of all worlds, because you can hair of the biblical narrative come alive and then serve as Jesus would serve in unique ways. So, well, in our last few minutes, I know two things are going on. Oh, and you're pointing at a bag. So what's in the bag? And then somehow share a little about how we can be praying for you and Helga, because I know you're going to be moving towards this ordination and internships and seeing if God may lead you into a pastorate role or a leadership role in a church or where your future is going to be headed. And I know Helga's going to be going to Peru. So in about a minute, you got to put that all together in about a minute.
Okay. Well, you can open your bag later. Got him a little something from the DR.
I see a little Avon here on the outside. So. Some Mocha Java.
Dominican coffee.
Look at Beamer's right here. What is this, Beamer? Oh, it smells good.
I think the Lord may be moving us in a couple of years to Arizona. He's kind of directing us that way, and we'll see it near the Phoenix area.
That's where my brothers are, and my mom's out there, and there's some really good churches out there, and some good ministry work needed there.
That's right. And so I'll keep working on the ordination process. Helga's going to try to finish a master's in nursing administration and be able to work at a care facility somewhere out there.
And she'll be going to Purdue for 2 weeks in a couple weeks?
Yeah. It's about 8 hours north of Lima, Peru, the capital.
All right.
An orphanage.
Okay, working in an orphanage. And she's the servant?
She'll be the staff nurse and caring for everyone.
Well, Brian, thanks for being available, coming out to the home studio. And this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, along with a lot of feedback yesterday on Peggy Meyer's interview and her sharing. I know a lot of friends did Facebook postings. So if you go to Facebook and you type in Great News Radio, or you type in Mark Burns, I guess White Heath or something, I always post all the guests. So I'll take a picture of you in just a minute and put it on our website, Brian, so our radio listeners can get a picture or a view of what you look like. And we'll be praying you and Helga up in the days ahead. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Remember, 1 Peter 5:7, Philippians 4:6, 7, and 8, they're all good verses to meditate on and think about. God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.